Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's great to have you with us on this Thursday. I hope you've been with us all week. We've been talking about how to pray for Israel and how important Israel is. And you know, given the headlines, I just can't think of a more important topic. It's astonishing how central Israel is to the headlines today. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to understand not just what they're reporting on CNN and Fox and MSNBC. I want to understand what's going on behind the headlines. Derek's been teaching us about ways to pray for Israel. He's given us three so far. One is to stay within the parameters of God's word. Always great advice for prayer. Two is to enter with thanksgiving and praise. And three is to confess your sins with others. Now, he's going to talk about more of an 11-part list of how to pray for Israel today. So let's listen as Derek Prince talks to us about how to pray for Israel.
Now, the third suggestion I have applies both to Jews and to Gentiles. And it is, confess your sins against one another to the Lord. You see, the true intercessor is one who has come to confess sin before the Lord. The perfect pattern of this is Daniel. Daniel was one of the most righteous men recorded in the New Testament. In fact, there are two major characters in the New Testament of whom no sin is recorded. One is Joseph, the other is Daniel. But when Daniel saw that the time had come to pray for the restoration of his people to Jerusalem, he came before the Lord in prayer. And though he was an outstandingly righteous man, he identified himself with the sins of his people. You see, if you're going to be an intercessor, you cannot stand there and say, they have done wrong. That doesn't get you anywhere with God. You have to say, we have done wrong. You have to identify yourself with the sins of your family, your inheritance, your culture, your nation, whatever it is you're praying for. And let me say to you, dear Americans, there are plenty of sins in the history of America with which to identify. When you've dealt with the sins against the blacks, then move on to the sins against the Indians, which have hardly been touched on by most Christians. But now let's look at the pattern of Daniel in regard to Israel. He says, I'm just reading in Daniel 9, a few verses from verse 5. We have sinned, not they have sinned. We have sinned and committed iniquity, and we have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Is that true of Israel? Certainly is. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. And we could continue, but you see the pattern? Don't be self-righteous. Don't stand at a distance like the Pharisee in the temple who said, I am not as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, the tax collector, said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, the publican went to his house justified. The Pharisee didn't. Pharisaical prayers are abomination to the Lord. Confession is an essential part of effective intercession. Now, my next suggestion, number four, is identify with God's ultimate purpose, which is what? Why has God tolerated the appalling wickedness of humanity for hundreds and hundreds of years? What is he waiting for? My answer is, he's waiting for a people for himself. That's what God is going to get out of history. Not an institution, not a lot of buildings, not a lot of government schemes, but a people for himself. And Ruth and I have had impressed upon us Titus 2, 11 through 14, which we will now say. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's what God intends to get out of history. His own special people, zealous for good work. That's why he waits with endless patience while wickedness runs its course, because God has a chosen remnant, both Jew and Gentile, and he's not going to let history close till every one of them has come to him through Jesus. So when you pray for Israel, don't start by praying for political issues. You can do that, but that's not primary. What is primary is that Israel will become the special people that God is after. And he's going to go on until he gets it.
You know, I love the way Derek teaches about prayer in general, but specifically the way he talks about prayer for Israel is so powerful. This fourth point that he's been emphasizing, identify God with God's ultimate purpose of having a zealous people unto himself. You know, what makes theology so simple is when you simply realize that we are in a love relationship. And if I'm married to a woman and I'm in love with her, then I'm going to love what she loves. It's just going to happen by virtue of our relationship and by virtue of me caring about her. We love God, and so we begin to identify with his heart passion of having a zealous people unto himself. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
The time is almost here when all will witness the startling, cataclysmic conclusion of the world. What will trigger the final countdown to the return of Jesus Christ? In his timely book, Promised Land, Derek Prince reveals God's purpose for the nation of Israel and its connection with end time events. In it, you'll discover why entire nations will be judged according to their response to God's chosen people, Israel. Call toll free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Promised Land for only $14.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Learn the truth about that point of blessing where your destiny and Israel's future intersect. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. We're in a wonderful series on how to pray for Israel. Derek has been teaching us each principle of praying and interceding for Israel. Now, if you've missed any of this, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. And towards the end of the show today, I'll be listing some of the principles that Derek has been teaching us today. So let's get right to it. Let's listen as Derek Prince talks to us about how to pray for Israel.
Now, the next principle is connected with that. It's based on Zechariah 4:6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of armies. So if it was a question of might or power, God has it all. But might and power, laws and military power, will not do what needs to be done. Amen. Because what needs to be done is to change the heart of men and women. And the only agent that can do that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can get very upset about the political situation in Israel, and we often do. But bear in mind that God is tolerating a lot of things he doesn't approve of, because he's waiting for his own special people. And the only power that will accomplish that is the mysterious, invisible power of the Holy Spirit. It's only in the measure that the Holy Spirit flows through us that people's hearts can be changed. And God is looking for a people whose hearts have been changed from hard stone to vibrant, responsive flesh. And he'll wait till he's got it. It'll often inconvenience us. We'll have to deal with awkward people who get in our way and interfere with our pleasures and make life difficult for us. But God says, too bad. But I'm waiting till I've got the people that I'm looking for. And that will only come by the Holy Spirit. And one of the greatest and most effective intercessory prayers is to pray for the release of the Holy Spirit upon Israel. And it's beginning to happen, but it needs a great deal more. All right. Suggestion number 6, pray according to Psalm 102, verses 13 and 18. This is a revelation that was given to the psalmist in a mood of deep despair. I mean, he'd come to the end of everything. He felt God had lifted him up and then thrown him away. What can be worse than that? And the opening verses of the psalm are all a dirge, a mournful dirge. But then, dear brothers and sisters, if you're struggling with depression, look away from your problems and look to the Lord. Because as long as you focus on your problems, you'll have to live with them. And so much counseling is just causing people to focus on their problems. And there's no solution. But the psalmist said in verse 12, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. And there was a total change of mood at that point. And he had a revelation of the end time visitation of God upon the Jewish people. And he said, you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. Now that's one of the marks of God's servants. They take pleasure in Jerusalem's stones and show favor to Jerusalem's dust. Do you have that mark? Then it says, so the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. God's intervention on behalf of Israel is destined to demonstrate his glory to all nations. Verse 16, for the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. The old King James said it, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. One of the great indications that we're approaching the end of the age and the Lord is getting ready to appear in his glory is that he is rebuilding Zion. So every one of us who love the Lord should be happy for that. Now the psalmist said, the time to favor her, the set time has come. The Hebrew word for set time is moed, which is the word used of all the sacred festivals of Israel, Passover, Pentecost, Yom Kippur, the New Year, everything. So God has a calendar, and on his calendar there are certain moedim entered it beforehand. You see, that's your business as an intercessor, is to remind the Lord of what's on his calendar. And one of the most effective forms of intercession is to say, Lord, this is the set time to favor Zion. Please do what you've said.
You know, don't you love the truth of God's mercy? I've heard so many people criticize the Jews, say, yeah, I'd pray for the Jews or I'd care for the Jews, but they're thus and so, they're like this, all of them do this and that. You know what? The Jews need the same thing that we need, the mercy of God, the attitude of God that overlooks our sins and our wrongs and deals with us according to his grace and his love, regardless of our sins. We need it. The Jews need it. Let's pray for it. Stay with us. There's so much more wonderful stuff to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
The passing of Derek Prince did not mean the end of Derek Prince Ministries. Instead, it marked a new beginning.
If I had only one message to leave to posterity, my family, my friends, whoever it might be, I would say it in three words. God is faithful.
And to succeed, we need your help. Through your gifts and offerings, you play a part in taking Derek's powerful and practical teaching to countless lives and hearts. Through the printed word, audio, video, and more, you keep the ministry of Derek Prince alive and active throughout the world. And of course, your partnership makes it possible to keep ministry, encouragement, and biblical insights coming to you and your family as well. For that, we are very grateful. To honor both the memory and the wishes of Derek Prince, will you stand with us as we continue the work he started so well and loved so much? Prayerfully consider taking an active part in carrying on the legacy of Derek Prince's life and ministry by making the most generous gift you can to Derek Prince Ministries. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently to keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and if you've been with us, you know that we've been listening to a marvelous teaching by Derek Prince on how to pray for Israel. And listen, if you've missed any of this, please log on to derekprince.org. We don't want you to miss any of this great series. It's so timely as the headlines. You'll find the rest of the teaching and other information about Derek Prince Ministries and Derek Prince the man. Now, I want to talk to you real straight just for a few moments, if you'll allow me, and just really be blunt. You know, Jeff Jacoby, a columnist for the Boston Globe, wrote this. He said, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine of civilization. When they become the objects of savagery and hate, it means the air has been poisoned and an explosion is soon to come. I think it's easy for us to look at the headlines now and realize that there's some sort of intensity, there's some sort of development and stir and intensifying pressure about Israel in the world. There's no question that great events are on the move and that God's covenant with Israel, as we have been learning about it from Derek, is somehow playing a role in shaping contemporary events. And I, as a person who focuses on politics and writes about those issues, I certainly could experience this and talk to you about this at that level. But I want to bring it down to a personal level for just a moment. You know, many of us feel caught in the chasm between God's word and our own attitudes about the Jews. Many of us have had bad experiences with some Jewish people, or we've drawn negative interpretations, or perhaps we've listened to speakers or teachers who make negative derogatory statements about the Jews or the Jews' control of the media, or I know there's one popular political commentator who calls Washington, D.C. a Jewish occupied zone and all that kind of stuff. And what it does is it creates kind of an anti-Semitism in our own hearts. We wouldn't want to call it that because we don't think of ourselves as being little Hitlers or little Nazis. But the fact is we have an animosity towards the Jews. We have a kind of a discord, or maybe it just takes the form of jokes or anti-Semitic jokes or Jewish jokes. And it becomes kind of a humorous thing. We would say, oh, I really don't dislike the Jews. It's just kind of funny to pick on them. You know what? If we're committed to God, if we're committed to His Son, Jesus Christ, the Bible makes it clear that we must love what God loves, and He loves the Jews. And I just, for a few moments now, want to give us an opportunity. You know, often in radio, things move fast, and people just rant on, and you're off to the next segment, off to the next show. But I think it would be a shame today if we don't have a moment here to just pray a quick prayer of repentance for the anti-Semitism that may be in our own hearts. You know, I've been a Christian for almost 30 years, and I still sometimes find attitudes creeping up that I have to check, like I have to weed the bad growth in my garden. Our hearts are the same way. And so just bow your head with me wherever you are, if you can, safely do that, and let me pray a prayer of repentance that perhaps you'll echo. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening. Lord, we want to be your people. We want to be a clean people. We want to be a people pleasing in your sight. We want to love what you love and have passion for what you have passion for. And Lord, as a rabbi once told me, you have a thing for the Jews. And so, Father, we want to have a thing for the Jews. We want to love them, pray for them as Derek is teaching us, and we want to honor them as you honor them. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for every joke, every attitude, every hardened place, so that, Father, we can allow the fresh flow of your Spirit as we pray and intercede for our brothers and sisters, our friends, our people who are connected to God called the Jews. And Father, we just pray what Derek has asked us and taught us to pray, that you'll help us to stay within the parameters of God's word. You'll help us to enter with thanksgiving and praise as we're interceding for the Jews, that Lord, whether Jews or Gentiles, we'll confess our sins against each other, that we'll identify with your ultimate purposes, which is to have a people for yourself. And that, Father God, you will help us to pray by the Spirit and to plead for your mercy for ourselves and for the Jews. We ask this, Father, with a desire for clean hearts and to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for praying that with us. Listen, one quick thing before we go, and that is that there's a new edition of Proclamation Magazine put out by Derek Prince Ministries. It'll extend these themes, educate you about what's going on in the world, and inspire your life. Log onto the website at derekprince.org to get a copy of Proclamation Magazine. Well, listen, we're eager for you to join us for the Friday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. That'll be tomorrow. And so for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Do join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your copy of Derek's book, Promised Land, for only $11.95, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. It's because of the faithful financial support of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And you can give securely online at derekprince.org. Thank you for standing with us. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information on anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.